Welcome back, everybody, to Menace Podman. I am Scott Keller. He's Steve St. Pierre. This is your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast, and we are on episode 16 of season two. A lot of fun stuff happened in the next few weeks here as October has rolled around. Preseason starts Thursday, October 5th in Abu Dhabi. And now we're less than 3 weeks away from opening night of the regular season.
Yeah, this is my favorite time of the year, man. We got media day and training camp opening and all that good stuff. It's just, man, such a blast. Can't wait to see all the teams and see how all these new players look. We're going to talk all about it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, media day definitely sets some excitement, really lights the fire. But over the next 3 weeks, we'll be getting everybody ready for, you know, fantasy drafts coming up here. Not too far away. I'm sure we'll probably be doing another mock draft here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, going to have to.
Yeah, and then most likely, I don't know if we'll do a specific show or half a show or something, maybe reveal our own rankings, our personal rankings.
Yeah, good call.
So all that stuff coming up in the next 3 weeks, so stuff to look forward to. But today, focusing mostly on media day, recent news and transactions all around the NBA. As always, Steve has got his list and always keeping us updated with all the news and notes, move transactions, and everything that's happening.
But got a big list today.
Exactly. So we'll cover all that. And towards the end, a WNBA preview. Got a lot of stuff in the middle. Let's see. Oh, yeah. One correction from last week. I just had to get this out there. I try to make sure I fix my mistakes. I talked about us going on YouTube and I said, maybe we will videotape. And I think I showed my age a little bit there.
I was going to say something too. I went back and listened to it and I didn't catch it when you said it live.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking the exact same thing.
I listened
record.
To it. Yeah. Record, stream, anything to prove that I'm not 40 years old. But it's very fitting with everything that was going on and just over the hill now. So yeah. We will not be videotaping.
Back in my day, we used to record everything. We used to videotape it and rewind it and watch it.
There you go. I did get an old tape deck for my birthday, though, for my father-in-law. So
hell yeah.
Pretty cool. Anyways, enough of that. Let's hop into our first things.
Name on your paper, first thing.
All right. So first things, pretty good stuff. Where do I want to start? I'm going to start with Anthony Edwards.
Who wants to be on a poster?
He unveiled his first signature shoe, the AE1 Adidas shoe, I believe it was. And also, he played at Georgia. He's an Atlanta native. So he came to, do some promo stuff and show everybody that's a shoe there. He went to take a tour of his childhood house and stuff like that. So I'm sure he's got some pictures holding the shoe or something on the front porch. I didn't get too far into it, but he also hosted a basketball camp for kids while he was there and promoting this. So just got a shout out to Anthony Edwards. Obviously, he's one of those guys that we're all looking to skyrocket and as far as stats and stuff are concerned, as far as fantasy is concerned. And
yeah, he's
going to
be a high pick this year.
Yeah, I always said it. I just want him to turn around and just not a knock on him because he's young. I just want him to mature. That's all. And he seems like he's making all the right steps and right strides to do that. So just want to shout out to him for giving back there.
Did you see what he said about Rudy Gobert?
I did not see.
He said, if Gobert shoots a three in an actual NBA game, I'm walking off the court.
He's going to do it at some point, though.
What if it's at the buzzer or something? You're walking off the court anyway, so.
I mean, garbage time or something. I've seen a lot of people jumping on the Minnesota, not to get off subject, but the Timberwolves bandwagon here lately. I mean, I think it was somebody on ESPN, predicted them to win the in-season tournament. I think it was on the Low Post or something. I don't know. But, a lot of people are saying that they could do some damage, and I'm like, they would do damage this year because I was on them last year, right? So
we'll have to see. They didn't make a ton of changes to their teams, so that might be a good thing, because maybe they're just gonna be that much better, you know, with each other. You know, they'll be more acclimated and more familiar with who wants to play where and whatnot. But also, obviously, everybody needs to be healthy.
Yeah. I still have Kat and DeAndre Ayton in some sort of a similar low motor type thing. And that's probably an insult to Kat, but whatever. We'll get into that later. Staying on track with some more great first things. Trey Young. So staying with A-Town here, Trey Young, obviously of the Atlanta Hawks. He recently, his Trey Young Family Foundation, they financed the entire project to renovate the Atlanta Youth Academy gym floor. So that was, I think that was last week. There was a news thing that came out on that. So awesome for Trey Young. Another one of those guys too, that I expect him hopefully to make some jumps here this year. He spoke to the students after, you know, just importance of hard work and staying focused. So he was a, you know, like a motivational speaker, a little Mick Foley in him. And, good stuff, but he just talked about
classy.
He wanted to make sure he was, giving back and, doing what God did for him growing up as a kid, giving him advice, giving places to go, and having after school programs that he can go to. So he remembers all that growing up and how impactful that was to him. So obviously giving back, and it's awesome. I love when NBA players give back. That's what this segment's always about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I do have another good thing, first thing, but it's around Nurkic. I don't know if you have any Nurkic news later in the
not
segment.
Really.
I guess we can roll it now. Yeah. It's kind of media day related too, but nonetheless, they asked him a question about, you know, what he thought was different about the United States. That he was, I can't remember exactly how it was worded or whatever, but something that he thought was not what he expected, and he kind of went into a whole gun control and safety kind of spiel.
Yeah,
which
I saw
really
that.
Awesome. So he, yes, you know, just using his platform for that and things.
Yes, I completely agree with him.
So yeah, everything he said is great. I mean, you can go check it out. I probably should have wrote the quote down here a little bit better, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it's out there.
Tweet it or something.
Yeah, you can find it. But I just think, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about the trades more too later, but I still think he's just going to be such a great fit and a better fit than DeAndre Ayton, who I could talk about forever.
Ishbia came out and said he's a better fit.
Yeah. So
with not the rest of their team.
Yeah. And not just, obviously you don't have to just be a fit as far as your skill set, but your just your character too. So,
yeah. And we talked all about it last week. I mean, it just, you know, he's totally content with being that like fourth guy, that fourth option next to those, you know, high volume, high scoring guys. You know, he's not going in there expecting to get the ball every other possession and average 20 points a game. He knows that that's not realistic and that's not what they need from him.
Exactly.
And I'm sure he's totally fine with that. Like we said, he just wants to be on a winning team again.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about that right now, but because you'll have some trade talk too. But like, I put the thing out, the survey on our Twitter, you know, who got the best of the trade. And then I'm probably one of the two people that responded. But
we got a couple.
I still think Phoenix got the immediate best part of the trade is probably how I should word it, I think.
Yeah, in terms of the depth.
I do think, I guess, yeah, I don't know what you want to talk about this, but there's been all these, you know, critiques about, you know, what they should have got for Damian and Portland and things like that too. And I think they got a decent haul, and I think they did exactly what they needed to do. So
especially when you factor in the next part of the trade, which we'll get to again momentarily.
Exactly. So overall, they did everything they needed to do. And
they're not done yet, which
and
we'll
they slighted
also get to.
Miami, which is exactly what they wanted to do.
Yes, they did.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I remember you actually really brought it up, you know, Miami not wanting to, or not Miami not wanting to, them not making trades with Miami, or being very willing to. And now they just made, you know, their competitors stronger. So it's a nice little slap in the face, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Portland knew exactly, or Cronin knew exactly what he's doing. So,
yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to your news and notes.
All right, well, we'll just get right into it. So Jrue Holiday, you know, we talked all about how he was part of the Dame deal, and he went to Portland, and we all immediately said he's getting rerouted. He's going to go somewhere else, no doubt about it. He did get traded. He actually is now a member of the Boston Celtics. And in return, Portland gets Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, and two first-round picks. So, yeah, that's a great trade for Boston. Man, you and I were both super high on them even before this trade. And now you look at their lineup, man, they've got all kinds of talent, versatility, both ends of the floor, offense, defense. We'll start with the backcourt. You got Jrue Holiday and Derek White together. I mean, I can't think of a defensive pairing that's any better in terms of guards. That's going to be huge. Then, you know, you've got Tatum, Jalen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis now on that team. That's a huge, awesome front court. You still have old man Horford. I think he's going to come off the bench. You know, we'll have to wait and see. I know reporters were asking him at media day, are you okay coming off the bench? Do you know if that's going to be your role? And he said, I don't know what the role is, but, you know, basically cool with whatever, as long as it takes to win. I think it makes sense. We talked all about it all summer. You know, he's getting older now. It would make sense to kind of preserve him a little bit. And also, you got to figure there's going to be games where Porzingis is going to sit. And in those games, you would think that Horford probably just goes in his spot. So they still need to get some more depth in the front court. You know, losing Robert Williams is a big blow to their defense in terms of, you know, down low. But yeah, man, it's just a great trade. Awesome versatility. I like them even more now. And I do think that they're going to make another move or two. But yeah, I think it's an awesome trade for Portland. It's interesting because Robert Williams goes there now. And we talked all about how they got DeAndre Ayton last week. So now you've got two of those guys. I don't think that Robert Williams is going to play a ton, though. I think they're going to use this time to kind of let him recover from all of his injuries that he's had. He's had a lot of knee stuff. I think they're going to kind of just bring him off the bench, not, you know, risk anything. You know, we've talked all about how they're rebuilding now, so they don't need to force guys out there. They can kind of take their time and evaluate these young players. And, you know, they were very adamant that Williams be included in this deal. He's the main guy that they wanted. And, you know, they're going to use him as much as they can. Malcolm Brogdon, I don't think is going to stick around. This is another situation where I think they're just going to keep rerouting guys until they, you know, maximize everything that they can from these trades. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, demand for a guy like Brogdon all across the NBA. You know, and we keep talking about the Miami Heat. They need to do something. They need another guard. So I would assume that Miami's probably calling and saying, hey, you know, you guys haven't wanted to trade with us yet, but any interest in maybe doing a deal for Brogdon? And I think Brogdon would be an excellent fit with the Heat.
Brogdon would be an excellent fit with the Heat, and especially with the talks of during media day today, they asked Kyle Lowry, you know, what they expect of him. And he's like, yeah, I expect to be starting. And I think that's probably what everybody says, right? You expect that you're going to be starting. I think you agree too. I think we've talked about that in the past that can't really use Kyle Lowry as a starter.
No, they don't want to start him. They didn't want to start him last year. And, you know, they had Gabe Vincent last year, and now he's gone. We talked all about that. But I don't think they want to start Lowry because they know he's just going to get hurt. And then when he does, they're not going to have anybody behind him.
Brogdon kind of reminds me of like Oladipo or Kendrick Nunn. That he kind of feels like he just kind of fits right into that Miami Heat lineup. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Just a solid bench guy, just a guy that could come in and run the offense off the bench. You know, he could start if he does get traded to Miami. He could definitely start for them. If he doesn't, or if that doesn't happen, I kind of think they're going to use a combination of Tyler Hero and Josh Richardson. And of course, Jimmy Butler, all three of them will kind of be like co-ball handlers, you know, and playmakers. And I think that could be their starting lineup. You know, and we talked about that a little bit over the summer, but we'll have to see. They have to do something. If they don't get a Malcolm Brogdon, like I said last week, whether it's like taking a flyer on John Wall or some other free agent out there, they need more depth if they're going to be a legit contender again this year. You know, we said last year they weren't the greatest in the regular season, but they went on a solid run come playoff time and obviously made it back to the finals. So,
yeah, but a lot of that was Gabe Vincent.
A lot of it was,
Jimmy,
yeah.
Right? So you exactly. take one of those people away, and yeah, they definitely make him going backwards currently. If like they like you said, if they don't make any additions,
so. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, great trade. We'll have to see what else happens. The other team I wanted to mention real quick was the LA Clippers. They've been rumored to be interested in Brogdon pretty much all offseason. They had talks with the Celtics early on, like around draft time. They couldn't get a deal done. They almost had a deal done, apparently, reportedly, but it fell through kind of last minute, and that kind of rifled some feathers, you know, in Brogdon's camp specifically. So, you know, now he gets dealt officially, formally. And yeah, I don't see him sticking with Portland. You know, even if he begins the season with the Blazers, I think there's a very good chance that they go ahead and, you know, package him somewhere else, try to get something for him. And that's nice because they just keep adding all these draft picks and stuff, you know, that they started off getting by trading Dame. So they just keep getting different assets. So it's turning out to be, you know, a good set of moves for them.
Yeah. I remember when Boston Celtics had so many draft picks and they used them all for whatever moves and, you know, turned them into what they are today. So, yeah, definitely the right moves to go there. I think it's funny you were talking about Brogdon and his, you know, feathers getting ruffled and stuff when he was in trade talks. And I've seen all that news and stuff. But then you see Tyler Hero, who was in trade talks for years and up until, you know, yesterday. And he seems to not care too much. He's got a pretty good attitude about, like, whatever, you know, I'll play wherever anybody wants me. And if I'm here, I'm here. And
he's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's a great human being and a fantastic NBA player. You know, I don't think any teams that he's played for can say anything bad about him. You know, he's not a superstar. I think he knows that. I think everybody knows that, but he's a fantastic player. He's great at what he does. Like we said, you know, he's an excellent ball handler. He's an excellent leader, very good scorer, and he can either start or come off the bench. He's done both all throughout his career, and he's done both very, very well.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll help any team out there. So I'm hoping that he gets rerouted somewhere because, yeah, I mean, Portland, they're not looking to do anything but play their young guys. So, you know, put him somewhere where he has a chance to win and have a bigger role. And in terms of fantasy, I mean, we talk all about it all the time. You know, you want guys that are going to be in situations where you can depend on them. You know, obviously injuries are injuries. They happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime. But you want guys to be in a good position where, like, they're not going to be expected to sit games and rest and get load management and be in tanking situations and all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll have to see what happens and see where he ends up. And for now, I think he's just kind of a guy to keep in mind as a late round pick, but obviously his value skyrockets if he goes to a situation like Miami where he, you know, presumably would start or at least play starter type minutes off the bench.
Exactly.
Speaking of bench, I wanted to talk about the Lakers a little bit. It sounds like they've already officially named D'Angelo Russell their starting point guard yet again. So there was a lot of talk that Gabe Vincent might come in there and kind of steal that role away. But it sounds like for now they're going to bring Vincent off the bench. And I think that's a good move. Yeah, I think that makes sense. One thing that's kind of surprising, though, they sound like it's not official or anything. I don't think it's been like a formal announcement, but it sounds like they're leaning towards starting Rui Hachimura at the four spot over Jared Vanderbilt. So they were using Vanderbilt more last season in the starting spot, but it's sounding like they might reverse that. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. I don't think that really affects either guy in terms of fantasy. I think those guys kind of cancel each other out a little bit. You know, they'll split the minutes almost evenly. And then we talked too about how they brought in Christian Wood, and, you know, I'm sure they're going to look to play Wood and Anthony Davis together a little bit. But then obviously, like, those two will split time at center as well. So, you know, Lakers are one of those teams, like you said, we're going to be seeing a lot of mixing and matching and a lot of matchup based type stuff.
Yeah. And now they got a giant chip on their shoulder with all this Denver
talk
from last year. And now coming over until this year too. I thought that was going to kind of fade away, but it's hanging around. And
well, they're using it as motivation. I can understand that, but I totally agree with Michael Malone last year. Like everybody was writing the Nuggets off, including you and I. I mean, we didn't think that they were, even though they were great in the regular season, they weren't experienced. They weren't proven.
Yep.
The Lakers, you know, they have a lot of guys who individually aren't proven, but I mean, they're led by, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and those two won a title together. So, you know, Darvin Ham, obviously he won a championship here in Detroit as a player, and he's been a successful coach. So, but in any case, that'll be a great season opener for those two teams. That'll be definitely one to watch. Can't wait to see it. I got a bunch of injuries here. I'll go ahead and just kind of get those going. The biggest one, first and foremost, Draymond Green. It was announced that he has a left ankle sprain, apparently hurt himself in practice. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but the initial reports were saying that they expect him to miss anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks. So that's a huge blow to their team. We talked already about how they don't have a lot of depth. You know, they're very top heavy. They've got all those veteran guys. But I think it kind of clears the air in terms of like who they're going to be starting, at least for the near future. I think they're going to use this Chris Paul, Steph Curry lineup together with Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and now Kevon Looney starting up front.
No, that's an even more expensive backpack if he's not out on the floor.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah,
I couldn't believe that's what he said to get punched. That's insane.
It was.
Anyways.
In any case, we talked about how they brought in some guys for training camp. You know, they brought in Rudy Gay, Rodney Magruder. I think both of those guys have a decent chance to make the team, especially now. They're going to need that depth. You know, they brought in Dario Saric. You know, we talked over the summer about how, you know, I like him. I think he's just has had a hard time staying healthy. But when he has been healthy and been on the court, you know, I think back to when he was with the Sixers and they called him the homie Dario. you know, he looked great. So he's definitely, you know, he's a younger guy. He still has potential. And then of course they're guys that they've had already, you know, Kuminga, Moses Moody, Gary Payton II, you know, all those type of guys. They brought in Corey Joseph, who was also on the Pistons.
Yep.
So yeah, they still have a lot of depth. They've got a lot of veteran guys. I think they'll be okay. But they definitely need to get another big man. You know, we'll have to see. Maybe a guy like Nerlens Noel. He would fit in with the Celtics too. We were talking about how the Celtics need to get another guy. Nerlens Noel's a guy that I expect to get picked up by somebody. And I think either of those two teams would make a lot of sense. We got an update on Kevin Porter Jr. We talked all about him and his personal issues. He was officially banned from the Houston Rockets. He's banned from training camp. He's basically kicked off the team. So he's just going to not play, and he'll just sit kind of in limbo until he's either traded
or picked up by Charlotte.
Exactly. You know, they're going to either trade him or they're going to release him in some capacity, either like a buyout or something.
And then Joshua Primo, where the heck did he just get signed or not signed, but,
he's on a two-way deal, I think, was it the Clippers?
Yeah, I think it was the Clippers. How do people not care about this stuff? Never mind.
I don't know. I guess with the Clippers, they're just like, hey, we have so much talent. Let's just take a flyer on this guy. You know, we'll let him play in the G League a little bit and just kind of see what he has. And, you know, cheap deal. Just kind of get a free look at him. But
I'd be such a bad owner of any sports team or GM or anything, because I would always let my emotions get to like the best of who I wanted on my
team. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. You know, you're prioritizing character.
I guess maybe it's a good thing, but
it is a good thing. And it's a gutsy move bringing in a guy like that, especially when you are a championship contender, when you're trying to compete, you're trying to win. But you know, I think they're looking at it like, hey, let's just get a free look at this guy. And if he turns out to have any talent worth holding on to, cool. And if not, we'll just cut him.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of other people got a free look at them too. And because of that, that's the reason I wouldn't want them on my roster. Like I wouldn't even take a chance at that. But I know we talk in the past and all about people and, you know, giving them second chances and whatnot. I believe completely in that, but
we have the meats.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. There's certain things that I wouldn't give people. I don't know. I don't know how I would determine that though. Right. You know, like, cause some things like the Ja Morant situation right now, I'm like, it's just immature, but there's like a difference between this immature of like flashing something on Instagram, social media, and physically doing something, right? There's like a totally
as
difference.
A grown adult,
exactly. So I can find there's a different line there that I think is crossed that I wouldn't even give him a chance. And it's the same that goes, I'm getting off on the huge soapbox here, but it's the same thing that goes with like the KPJ, and that's what this came from, and then the, you know, Miles Bridges and things like that. Like that stuff is way too serious to me to even be like, even consider them on my roster. But yeah, whatever. That's just me. Yep.
No, it's not just you. I'm right there with you. I heard say that a lot.
Kevin Porter Jr. and it just lit a fuse under me. Sorry.
Yeah, no, rightfully so. And that's a great point. I've got an update on Larry Nance Jr. and Jose Alvarado. We talked about both of those guys. They're both dealing with injuries right now. Larry Nance Jr. has a left ankle injection, and Alvarado has
that's
a
right... all I got, my brother.
Our boy, he's got a right ankle sprain. Both of those two should return to basketball activity in 2 to 3 weeks. So they're going to miss the start of camp. They're going to miss most of camp, but it sounds like they'll be back definitely before the regular season, unless they have any kind of a setback. So just keep an eye on that situation. You know, we talked about how the rest of the Pelicans sound like they're healthy right now. So those two guys specifically probably don't have a lot of upside in terms of fantasy. But as is always the case with that team, you know, keep a close eye, because as soon as a Zion or a Brandon Ingram or anybody like that goes down, that just increases the value of their role players and their bench players, the guys like Nance and Alvarado and guys like that. So, the Wizards got hit with a couple of bad injuries. Daniel Gafford injured his elbow. He's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks. And then Landry Shamet, who just came over to them in the Bradley Beal, Chris Paul trade, he broke his toe and he's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks. So
you that Tourette's guy, the Bob Saget Tourette's guy. Have you seen that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's when you said Landry Shamet. That's the first I was like, Landry Shamet. Like, that's all I could think of.
I seen him.
Anyways,
good stuff. Kai Jones, speaking of personal issues, I don't know what's going on with him. He's on the Charlotte Hornets. he's been on social media for now. I don't know if you've seen it, man. He's been very active on social media. He's been saying all kinds of stuff. And the team came out and they're like, we don't really know what's going on, but he is out indefinitely. I hope everything's okay with him. You know, all kidding aside, you and I have talked about the importance of mental health and how it's at the forefront and how we all need to communicate and help one another. I wish him the best. I hope he's okay. We talked about how Charlotte has a lot of young up and coming big men, and he's one of them. And he looked pretty decent at times down the stretch last season when they went into full tank mode. In terms of fantasy, I mean, this just helps Mark Williams that much more. You know, Williams is expected to be the starter again, and he's the guy that has the highest upside right now in fantasy. I like him, you know, pretty much around that like 100 spot, you know, mid to late round kind of guy, especially if you need depth at the center position. So, yeah, they still have Nick Richards. They've still got like JT Thor. They, you know, re-signed PJ Washington. They still have a lot of big guys. They've got a, you know, they're going to be, they're another team that are, they're going to be mixing and matching based on, you know, the matchups. So, in any case, Kai Jones is a guy to just kind of keep an eye on that whole situation. See, make sure, first of all, like we said, that he's okay. And then also like, is he going to stick around? Is he going to stay with the Hornets, or are they going to look to move him? And he's probably a guy that another team will take a flyer on and just say, hey, look, you know, he's a young, cheap potential asset. And if it doesn't work out, we don't really lose much by taking a flyer on him. So,
yeah, no, it's a interesting situation. I did see a little bit about it. I didn't read into it too much. But yeah, no, same as you. Obviously, hope the best for him and figure out what's going on there.
Yeah. And then the last major injury that I have here is Damian Lee with the Suns. He's got a right meniscus injury. He's out indefinitely. So that doesn't sound too good. You know, he's a guy we talked all about. You know, they made strategically cheap moves to try to get, you know, depth. And he was one of those guys that they picked up. Yep. So, you know, if he's healthy, he'll only help them in real life. You know, he's definitely not a guy that you're looking at in fantasy, but, you know, in reality, he's a guy that they'll be leaning on in terms of their bench. So hopefully for them and for him, he can come back, not have any setbacks and be good to go the rest of the way. The only other minor injury that I have here is our guy Cam Johnson with the Nets. He's got a left hamstring strain. He's going to miss the start of training camp, but he's listed as day-to-day right now. It doesn't sound too serious. They're saying it's not serious, so hopefully that's the case, and hopefully he'll be fine. The big news with that team is allegedly Ben Simmons is fully back, fully healthy, and fully committed to playing. I still don't buy any of it. I don't think that he's going to start, but they're talking about, like, he's the point guard. He's the man, so I really don't know. It's going to be very, you know, compelling to see how it plays out.
Probably not a bad last round flyer, right?
Probably not. And especially if you're a team that maybe drafted Giannis already, yeah, and you're leaning towards a potential free throw punt.
Yeah.
He's a guy that could maybe fit on a build like that, or just a guy that, like you said, you just want to take a flyer and kind of see what happens late round, just draft him. First or second to last pick, and you know, just give him a week or two, see how he looks, see what's going on, roll that dice, yeah, and move on if it isn't working out.
Exactly.
I got some transactions here real quick too. I'll just read through these. Yeah.
You got my favorite one, probably.
Well, the first
another
one
Cam.
Yep. That's my first one. Cameron Payne. Yep. He signed a 1-year deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Yep. So yeah, there's their depth. Now, at point guard, you know, they've got Dame as the starter. Payne will back up Dame, and that should be a really good pickup for them. Reggie Bullock.
No Payne, no Dame.
Nice.
Ah, yes.
Nicely played.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, you are. <All right>. Reggie Bullock, he agreed to a buyout with the Spurs, and it sounds like he's going to sign with the Houston Rockets. So, yeah, again, the Rockets, they're bringing in veteran guys. They're serious about turning things around and trying to start winning. And so, yeah, that's a really good pickup. He'll definitely help. A couple guys got waived by the Grizzlies, Josh Christopher and Isaiah Todd. They were kind of like lost in the shuffle when we did our emergency pod and we talked about all the different, you know, free agent signings and stuff. There were, you know, a couple trades in there, and the Dylan Brooks trade was like the big one where, like, yeah, a bunch of different pieces got moved around. A bunch of guys wound up getting rerouted and stuff. Those two guys were both, I think, in that trade, and they kind of got flipped around a couple times. Well, they're both now available, and, you know, we'll have to see if they catch on with anybody. The Clippers waived Jason Preston, who they had last year. I'm not sure if he's going to get picked up by anybody. He might be more of a G League or, you know, a Europe kind of guy, but we'll have to see. And then a couple guys who haven't been waived yet, but are expected to be, are Keon Johnson, who was picked up by the Suns in the trade last week, the Dame trade, and Ish Wainwright, who was with them last year. I saw a report that they're both expected to be waived. And, you know, we talked about how Phoenix went out and got all these guys. So, you know, they're going to need to clear roster space at this point. So it sounds like they're going to be the casualties there. And that's all I got.
Sweet. All right. Let's see. How about what are we going to do here? Okay. So I got a couple of things. I got a list from NBA.com. Got some media day stuff. I think that'll stir some stuff up from us. WNBA preview also. And then I want to talk about some stuff on Mark Cuban real quick. But first, let's get a read in. So you'll hear all that after this break. Hey, it's Scott from Menace Podman. And if you love sports and you're a somewhat low-key gambling degenerate like I am, you should definitely check out Outlier.bet. They have a super easy-to-use platform supported on both mobile and desktop sites. And it really allows you to crunch the numbers and make you get some confidence in the bets that you're making. You can do multiple things on Outlier. You can explore across multiple markets. You can get suggestions on and curated picks. You can analyze trends, matchup data, line movement. And my favorite feature, Outlier is integrated with multiple betting sites. So you can seamlessly transfer your picks to automatically fill out your bet slips with just as easy as two clicks. So there's a link directly in the show notes to Outlier. You should check them out. Click on the link, go to the site, sign up, get a free 7-day trial of Outlier, and go win some money. All right. So I did just want to give a quick shout out to another podcast out there. I always like, you know, when you find a good one out there. I think I've mentioned them before, the Dunker Spot.
Yeah.
Nikias Duncan and Steve Jones Jr., they do a great job. They're very smart, intelligent basketball fans, and they actually just as recently as a couple months and have been on Old Man and the Three, so they've got some obviously got some recognition there, so pretty cool for those guys. And I just think it's awesome, and it definitely gives me motivation to continue doing what we're doing, hopefully doing it at a high level and get some good recognition at some point.
Yeah, they were the guys that talked about the WNBA and about how, you know, it's good basketball, you know, check them out.
Yeah. And they also, just recently they were talking about the Jrue Holiday trade, and I was going to almost mention them earlier when you were talking about the trade and the transactions, but, Steve Jones Jr. brought up a good point. He said Boston kind of just kept the same thing they had to go going and added, Kristaps Porzingis, because basically, the Marcus Smart Jrue Holiday is not an even trade. It's an upgrade on Smart, but it's the same idea.
I think that's a great point. I think defensively you got a lot of similarities there, but then the offensive upgrade that Holiday gives you,
that was a great point. But go check out their podcast, The Dunker Spot, if you get a chance. The other thing I wanted to do, I want to talk about Mark Cuban real quick. Mark Cuban was on First Take, obviously not our favorite show, but I love Mark Cuban, and I'll admit it, I'm a closet Dallas Mavs fan. I don't know what it is. I pull for him. I think it's mainly just because of Mark Cuban. It's also, because of him and how he runs that team, and their ownership, I think they said right at the end of this interview on First Take, he said eight of 14 of the executives are women on his team.
Yeah. Now they had some issues with that before, but you know, credit to Cuban, he's gone in and kind of cleaned it up and made things better. But we talked about too, like just their lineup is very, you know, exciting and entertaining, and you know, it's going to be fun seeing Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving play together all season. And then we talked about their front court and the guys that they added, you know, getting Derek Lively in the draft and picking up Grant Williams and, you know, some of those other guys, man, it's going to be a fun year.
Yeah. And actually I'll correct myself. It's 6 of 14 executives are women, not 8, but, anyways, no. Yeah. I think they're going to be super exciting to watch. I think they got
Sean Holmes. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
Hoping for a comeback for him.
They've been an outside shot at anything there. He also, he said something on there that it was one of the best quotes I heard. He said the NBA always gets better. He said teams get better, the players get better, and the skill sets get better. And I was like, man, I love it. Like, he's such a fan of basketball, understands it. And that's the way I feel about NBA and basketball all the time. It just continues to get better. And you just love it more every day. It just sucks you in. But, that's fun. Yeah. And then also
we talked about him. I wanted to say too, real quick. Yeah. We talked about him on the Pat Bev podcast as well.
Yeah.
He had a lot of good things to say then too. And yeah, I agree with you. He's a very smart guy, very successful businessman, but he's a fantastic owner. He's so fun to watch. He knows the game so well, and he's so outspoken. He's an easy guy to root for, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah. No, he's one of those guys. If they gave me that list of 10 people you could ever have lunch with, you know, their top five or something, he'd be up there for me for sure. But another thing he also said, he was talking about the load management things that came up.
Yes.
And I know this is going to tie into the media day stuff with Kawhi. But he was talking about the load management stuff and how he thinks a lot of it is directed specifically because of gamblers and gambling. And I was like, yeah, that is exactly, probably almost 99% true. And then you got fantasy, which is still probably considered gambling if you do daily fantasy and things. So, he said, in my opinion, I agree with him. I remember when I heard the rule come out where they wanted to try and limit it. And first I just thought it was a money grab as far as ratings and things like that on television. And then I heard that and I realized I'm sitting here, I'm like, no, they just care about the gambling, you know, revenues and things from that too. So it is still just money, but in many, many avenues. And I don't know. I don't completely agree with it. I just think if they really care about the quality of the NBA, they would care about what their players think they need to do to take care of their bodies and injuries and recover and all that stuff. I don't know. I just don't think it should happen the way.
Yeah, we talked about it before. I mean, I think that they are trying to fix a lot of things. You know, it's been an issue for a long time. You know, we've talked about how fans have complained that, you know, they go to buy tickets to see a specific player and then they show up at the game and that player is sitting out because, you know, he's taking a game off for load management. And that's the most frustrating thing because, you know, these tickets aren't cheap and, you know, it does hurt the game. You know, it hurts the product. So it's a constant struggle and I don't think there's an easy fix. And I don't think that these new rules are going to like magically change everything. You just hope that it makes subtle improvements and eventually we get to a point where there's a good, you know, kind of common ground where everybody's kind of content with like, hey, you don't have to play every single game, but like, here's what you're kind of expected to do. And, you know, it's going to take a long time, but hopefully we'll get there.
Nope. But yeah, so Kawhi was very outspoken also during media day.
Yeah.
About that as well. I thought that was nice that he, you know, just put his opinion out there and stuff. And
said, yeah,
you know,
nice to hear him talk for a change.
Not just laugh. I saw something on Twitter the other day. Somebody put just the Kawhi laugh as a laugh track for like a Friends episode. And just has him talking and it's like, uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty good. But poor guy. I mean, my laugh sucks too, but it's not as bad as that. But
same.
Anyways. So NBA.com has a list here, 25 best moments of 2023 media day. So I was just going to run through it real quick, see if it stirred up any thoughts or emotions from us and
Sounds good. From
there. So first thing is Damian Lillard, Giannis, basically, you know, Dame saying, I want to do whatever I have to do. Actually, another thing on Dame too. I remember, so we put that episode out the day he got traded, like an hour after. Mm-hmm. And then the next, was it that night or the day after he released his like new single for Dame Dalla?
Yeah.
I hated that. I absolutely hated that. I thought that was like an awful move. I understand what he was doing, but I was like, you just had this in your back pocket ready to go. Like you were ready all season putting something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. They gave it was a
capitalizing. It almost makes it like, okay, are you trying to win or are you trying to make money on your record? Like, what is your priority right now?
Yeah. I'm sure it's both, but it was a bad look to me.
I see what you're saying though, for sure. And I don't disagree. I think it's kind of a bad look. Just, you know, hey, you're trying to win a championship. Like that needs to be the number one focus.
And just the timetable of the release is what I guess is more what bothered me. It was the day after that night. Like, wait a few months and then put out this and be like, you know, I just want to put this out. And
A good business move. I'm sure he made a lot of extra money. And I'm sure all these networks probably used it. And
I'm sure they did. But I didn't even listen to it. So I don't even know what the hell he says.
Yeah, same. So it
didn't
same
work for me. But
he did also tweet out a big kind of like thank you to a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
And that was cool. I liked that. And that I think he also had ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, Portland did that for him too. And they definitely had that ready to go.
Yeah, and they did. You know, we all knew it was coming. We didn't know where
time to go, Maryland.
But yeah, we knew it was time to go, and you know, we knew he was going to go somewhere. So yeah, they all had that stuff ready. But I agree with you. The single thing, you know, he probably should have waited. But whatever. I mean, it's a good business decision. Probably made some extra cash. And you know, if he winds up winning the championship this year, then he'll have the last laugh. So
yeah. But yep, nope, they got a big legit shot. Then yeah, two was Giannis, and he's talking about Dame and saying, you know, I need Dame to be Dame and he needs me to be me. And yeah, as long as they do that, they're going to be very competitive. Number three was one that obviously we talked about a little bit. This Jimmy Butler rocks new hairstyle for Media Day. you haven't seen it. I made a little clip art too. I thought he looked like Adam Sandler and Little Nicky.
Yeah.
But,
No question.
So I kind of put that together. I got a bunch of views, but nobody liked her repost or anything. So maybe it's not as cool as I think it is. But
I think it's hilarious. I think you're spot on. I completely agree with you. That's Little Nicky all day, every day.
But you can see that on our X. I had Jimmy Butler's being Jimmy Butler. I love Jimmy Butler. I think
jealous of Emo Austin.
Yeah, he did. And I saw people doing stuff again and making new, using the same stuff they used when Austin Reeves put out, like the ball out boy and stuff like that. So, there was another one too. I can't remember what song it was.
Have to go back and revisit those. Those were priceless.
That tonight will be the night that I will ball for you over and over again. it was good. But he's doing like some straight up tour. He was on all these things, you know, with his new haircut, talking about how emotional he is. Yeah. And then he had the thing too. We didn't talk about the tampering thing that came out. So he's like, yep, check the Bucks out for tampering. I think you could
Which
check
is the out. Biggest joke because like Miami was the team that, you know, he's boys with Bam and he wants to play with Jimmy and yada, yada, yada. Come on, man.
Exactly. No, it was very funny. And actually too, when you think of tampering, I think you could look into every team for tampering and you'd probably find it. So.
I wasn't sure if Jimmy Butler was being serious when he said that or if he was just joking around again. Cause like if he's joking, like that's actually really funny because again, you could have said the same thing about the Heat tampering, and the Heat got in trouble for tampering when they got Kyle Lowry. So
exactly.
It could have been a play on all of that, which would have been really funny, but I think he was probably serious, which is just like, dude,
I think really. He was, I think he was a little serious, but yeah, knowing Jimmy and what
hard
he
to
does,
tell
yeah.
with him.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's another one. I love him. I love he's him and he doesn't do anything
he's
that
awesome.
Like, really offends anybody or it goes at anybody. He's just him having fun. I heard he was going to put out like a country record coming out soon. So anyways, I love Jimmy. So yeah. And then he was on NBA TV with Taylor Rooks and he was talking about how, you know, he's still going to be him. He's going to go beat Dame, Giannis and Adrian Griffin on his way to a title. So he's still got the confidence. He's still got the talk. He's still got the swag. And how can you blame him with what he does in the playoffs? So,
exactly.
Oh, let's see. Number five, Chris Paul's a Warrior. I don't think I have anything to say about that.
Yeah, we talked all about it.
Yeah, I think that's already done. Talking about the Phoenix Suns are the next few things. You know, Bradley Beal's there. He's excited, saying it feels like, you know, first day of school. The Suns are still, I think they're the biggest wild card still in all of the NBA. I have no idea what they're going to be. I have all these big expectations now with some of the moves they made, but I don't know. I have no idea.
The Dame trade, we talked about it. It makes them deeper now. They're going to be fun to watch, but you know they're still very top heavy. And if something happens to Durant and or Beal, they're screwed, especially in the West. The West is way too deep. They can't afford to have any kind of setbacks.
Exactly.
Nurkic, you know, we talked about how Nurkic is a much better fit with those guys, but Nurk has all kinds of injury risk. And if something happens to him, you know, they don't have a ton of depth behind him. So,
I saw a lot of arguments against saying, you know, people were saying that they got deeper, which I believe they did. But people were arguing the other side saying, you know, they got deeper with these people, like not the most quality players in that spot to add depth with.
Strategically cheap.
But yeah, they got to do what they got to do. So I still think they're doing a decent job with the you know, the game plan they got going.
But they're going for it, man.
LeBron James back in number 23, got rid of the number 6 again. I have no idea why. Just so he can sell more jerseys. I don't know.
That's all it is, man. Cha-ching.
I have no idea, but yeah, so he's doing that. Who cares? let's see what else. Oh, Jokic. Jokic is back to his usual self. I remember at the end of last year and during last year, I was having a really hard time with him taking stuff seriously. Mm-hmm. And now I'm really actually kind of liking it. I'm really appreciating it. I feel like myself, I'm starting to turn that way with my regular day job, where I just I do enough to win and be competitive, yeah, right? Yeah. And do my job. But all the other stuff, I really don't. I just want to have fun and hang out with my family and friends and shit. So,
did you see the part where the reporter asked him,
"Yeah,
how much did you touch a basketball?" And Jamal Murray was like, "He didn't."
Yep. And then he also asked, I don't know if it was the same reporter, different reporter. He goes, "Was this the best summer you ever had?" Right. And he was like, "No, not even close." And he's like, "Why?" He's like, "I was playing basketball for 2.5 months." Like it was like a really short summer.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the best answer ever. But so he's that's honest. Good. Number 11, my favorite guy, DeAndre Ayton. I've listened to him say his introductory press conference thing. Like, I've listened to it 15 times and I don't believe a damn word that comes out of his mouth. I still don't. It sounds like a broken record. It sounds like somebody just, you know, programmed it. And then there was the controversial statement where he said the Phoenix Suns accommodated to my wishes. And that was very interesting. You know, did he demand a trade? Did he not? Or is he making it sound like he did? I don't know what it is about this guy. I just don't trust anything he says, anything he does. And that's it. That's it.
We've said this before and I'll say it again plenty of times. These guys can say whatever the hell they want. They can talk about whatever they want to talk about. They can throw anybody under the bus, whatever. It's put up or shut up time, especially for him. Now he's on a team where they're rebuilding. You know, he's going to look to prove himself to be a true superstar. And, you know, he's getting close to the max right now in terms of his contract, you know, but he hasn't really lived up to that as of now. And, you know, if he's ever going to have another opportunity to do that, it's right here and now with the Blazers. So, but we talked about it, man. They've got a bunch of other guys who are going to be out there gunning. They're going to be out there looking to get their numbers. They're not a team that's going to be expected to compete. But we'll have to see, you know, they're all young. They'll be fun to watch. And, you know, we talked about how Utah last year came in and everybody thought they were going to tank. And here they were challenging for a playoff spot. So anything can happen. Anything can happen. Yeah. Lauri Markkanen was fantastic. You know, they've got a good young coaching staff too, that everybody kind of bonded around. And, you know, Chauncey Billups is that kind of guy too. I think all the players respect him. And so you never know. Anything can happen, but yeah, it's put up or shut up time. He can say whatever he wants. He has to produce on the court. And if he doesn't do that, not only is anything that he's saying going to be completely irrelevant, but also like moving forward, nobody's going to take him seriously. And, you know, quite frankly, he might not last much longer.
I think he turns into a Andre Drummond. Honestly,
if he's lucky, at least Drummond's stuck around, you know, Dwight Howard, DeMarcus Cousins, Greg Monroe, talented players who aren't in the NBA right now.
Yep.
If you can't play, especially as a center, like if you can't prove your worth and your value, you don't really have a place in today's game, unfortunately.
Agreed. All right. Next up is Olympic stuff. Kevin Durant said, "I will be in the Olympics next year." They talked to Steph Curry, he said, "I want to be there." Yes.
LeBron.
So those things are there. Yeah, LeBron's always, you know, he has committed and things like that. So Olympics, big talk. Everybody wants to, you know, right the ship with the Team USA and prove that Team USA is the dominant, you know, international force that they should be and are. So that's kind of nice. Sure. So it'll be a redeem team probably, right? And it'll be pretty fun to watch. Some, I would assume some, I'd assume domination by Team USA, but I don't, I mean, international basketball keeps getting stronger and stronger.
Easier said than done.
So it's going to be difficult, but it'll be fun. But then they got KP talking about Boston, you know, welcoming him with open arms. And then also, let's see, who's this? Talk about Jrue Holiday with Jaylen Brown, talking about how, you know, he's a great competitor. He'll fit right in. Then we also saw stuff this week of Jaylen Brown trying to dribble with his left hand. He seems like he can't. So it's a fun little video.
I don't think I saw that. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you'll have to check that one out. It's the talk of all social media for anything Celtics related. They're like, Jaylen Brown still can't dribble with his left hand. So we'll see if everybody starts pushing him left. But we'll see what happens. Now, a little bit of talk about the Knicks and the Wildcats getting back together. Marcus Smart loving his threads. Let's see. AD, Van Vliet. That's about it. There's a few other things here. There's actually a video, too. I don't know if you've seen that, of Klay Thompson dancing.
No.
You should check that out. It's pretty good.
Will do.
yeah, I think that covers most of the Media Day stuff. But I don't know if there's anything else Media Day you saw you wanted to go over real quick.
Klay Thompson, you mentioned him. They're saying that he's going to be the one guarding power forwards on the other teams. So that's going to be really interesting. You know, they're going to be testing out that body. He's had a lot of injuries, a lot of wear and tear. He's another year older. That's a really gutsy move, but you know, it's kind of out of necessity right now because we talked about it. Draymond's hurt. They don't have a ton of depth. That's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to go small. They're going to have to take advantage of mismatches and just kind of hope for the best. So we'll see how it plays out.
All right.
We could do a deep dive on the Pistons, but we kind of did that already. exactly. But I saw that Cade Cunningham says he's 100% now, and that's great. All the guys sound like they're excited to play together. Monty Williams sounds super psyched. And I don't remember exactly what he said. He had a fantastic quote the other day. I probably should have wrote it down, saved it for the pod. My bad. But I just love him. And yeah. I can't.
I know he's talking about the back. He was talking about the backup center spot too, or big man spot, between Bagley and Weissman for a while too.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of talk about playing Weissman and Durin together again. And we talked about that, you know, that's going to be an option for them and probably something that they'll go to every so often. So.
All right, so we'll just wrap this episode up with a little WNBA Finals preview.
Here's the update.
So as we expected, New York Liberty, Las Vegas Aces, the battle of the super teams in the finals. It will start Sunday, October 8th. The New York Liberty have sold out. I thought this was funny. So Las Vegas has sold out every game, the entire arena, right, for their three home games.
Yeah.
And the Liberty have two, and the Liberty went on social media and they're like, we sold out the lower bowl of so tickets are still available for the upper bowl. So
yeah,
a little different fan base for each sure. team. But let's see. Yeah, well, I guess the only preview is last series 3-0, Las Vegas took care of Dallas, 3-1, New York took care of Connecticut pretty handily. We had that first game, little slip with New York, but I think to me, I feel like New York's a little more weighted towards the offense, where the Las Vegas a little weighted more towards defense. So I feel like Liberty can have those off shooting games, and that kind of throws them off. And those are usually the games they lose. But when they're knocking stuff down, they're just as unbeatable as Las Vegas is. But Liberty won the season series 3-2, including that Commissioner's Cup. A lot of history to be said, to be made. If I remember right, the Liberty have not won a WNBA championship. And Las Vegas is going for two straight, and there hasn't been multiple WNBA championships since the early 2000s when the Sparks did it, and then the late 1990s when the Houston Comets
won. Yeah.
I think it was four in a row with the Comets, I think.
I think so.
Somebody will set some type of history there. But I just shout out Banaja Laney. she's been on a tear. She's been amazing. She's probably been the, you know, the difference in the playoffs.
Yeah.
For the New York Liberty last game.
I streamed her a lot during the season. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, you know, kind of up and down, but mostly solid. But yeah, yeah, credit to, you know, save it, you know, save your best for last, you know.
Yeah, last three games, game 2, 24-3, game 3, 28-4, and game 4, 21-7-5. So last three games, very consistent, very awesome. She's a great player. She's a great person, too. There's a lot of good stuff, as are basically everybody in the WNBA. So let's see. What else did I want to talk about as far as that? Oh, the last Tuesday's Sun Liberty was the most viewed WNBA playoff game on cable in 22 years.
There we go.
That's pretty cool. So that goes all the way back to probably the LA Sparks finals and stuff I was referencing. So that's pretty cool. That's up. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about this specific series.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think each game will be very competitive. I don't see many blowouts happening, but I guess we never know. We'll have to tune in and watch, see how it plays out.
Exactly. But yeah, you had I had Las Vegas in 5, you had New York in 5. We'll see who prevails with that.
Yeah.
I think we both had them in 4 in the previous rounds, and it was 4-3, so
yeah,
we had the idea what was going on there. But yeah, just other WNBA news that Aliyah Boston, unanimous MVP. I think everybody knew that was going to happen. So that's out there. What else?
Rookie of the year, right?
Or yes, I'm sorry. Rookie of the year. I said MVP. Yeah. My bad. Yeah. She probably was in the MVP voting for like somewhere on the list. Yeah. But yes, unanimous rookie of the year. Thank you. Yeah. And then there was a lot of stuff out lately of 2K, because they have WNBA and 2K.
Yeah.
And the players don't, they look awful. They don't even look like the actual players. Nowhere near like how the NBA players look. So a lot of people are calling them out for that. Ryan Howard was also one of those people. And she said they actually got scanned for it. So she posted like 4 pictures of who was supposed, or 1 picture that's supposedly her and then 3 other players. And she's like, yeah, I got scanned for this. And it doesn't look really anything like her. So
yeah, if you're going to, I've got a lot of choice words to say about 2K. I used to love NBA 2K. In the last few years, I just feel like they've focused on so many other areas that the game itself has just taken a hit. And yeah, a lot of cut corners and stuff like that. I don't want to bash them too much, but
I can't remember who the first person is who I saw who put it out there on Twitter, but she was like, you know, if you're not going to do it right, just don't put us in there at all. And I absolutely appreciate that comment. I thought that was pretty cool. So
what I want is a brand new NBA Jam, and I want new updated rosters. I want WNBA players in there, and I want the ability to create your own player. That's what I want.
Let's see if we can get it done.
Yeah.
So we blow boom shakalaka. Yep. And then the where is it at?
Boom shakalaka.
And then the very last thing I wanted to mention was on media day, Max Strus and Mikal Bridges were both wearing the Sabrina ones for their media day photos.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was pretty cool.
Super classy.
Super awesome. Obviously, Mikal Bridges, huge supporter of WNBA. He's at a bunch of New York games in Brooklyn. So pretty cool. Love him. Love that move. Like you said, super classy. But yeah, I think that does it for that. I think that does it for this week's episode. And
time to go.
Yeah, as always, you can listen
time to go,
us.
Maryland.
You can listen to us every week. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got to say this week. Listen to us every week. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. Find us on X. Find us on Threads, at Menace Podman. Again, if you listen, give us some reviews. Give us some rating rankings if you could. We appreciate it. And other than that, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing NBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
And Miss Parman.